Place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Cooper. We have some announcements to make before we proceed with the next item. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the provisions of AB 361. Board and staff, please mute all of your devices until you are ready to speak to avoid feedback, echoing, and background noise. Make sure you unmute when speaking and remute when you are done speaking. All board members, please turn on your camera during the meeting. Staff, please turn on your cameras when speaking and turn them off when you are done speaking. Board members will be advised to use the raise hand feature in Zoom when action and discussion items are presented. I will call on each of you when it is your turn to speak. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda during item three. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in this agenda may do so at the time each item is considered. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when you are requested. Please do not turn on your camera unless you are speaking during public comment, and then please turn them off when you have completed your comments. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called upon by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. When you are finished with your public comment, staff will re-mute you. Please be familiar with the last two digits of your phone number. The procedure for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will open the public hearing. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. And reminder, please raise your hand in the Zoom feature. I will then close the public hearing. The board secretary will be doing attendance by roll call. And at this time, I'd like to pass it to the board secretary. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll for attendance?
As I call your name, please stay present. Director Cooper.
Present.
May I ask everybody to unmute so you're prepared when I call your name? And then when you're done speaking, just go ahead and remute. Director Cawley?
I'm here.
Director Ford?
Present.
Director Ozuchowski?
Present.
Director Planbeck?
Here.
Director Bronstein?
Present.
Director Kelly?
Present.
Director, Director Armitage?
Present.
Director Atkins?
Present.
Vice President Gladbach?
Present.
Vice President Mortensen?
Present.
President Martin?
I am present.
Thank you.
Very good. We can move on to item three, public comments. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Madam Secretary, are there any public comments on under item three at this time?
There is not.
Very good. We can move to item four. Approval of the agenda. No vote is required, but I would ask, are there any additions or modifications of the agenda at this time? Seeing none, I will declare the agenda approved, and we can move on to item five, public hearing on division boundaries adjustment as required by election code. There will be no action taken tonight, and we are now, I will announce the public hearing is now open regarding the division boundary adjustment as required by election code. Announced no action will be taken. There's no action to be taken tonight. At this time, I will pass it to Assistant General Manager Steve Cole and Doug Johnson for the presentation. Gentlemen, please.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, President Martin, members of the board. We're back again to talk about redistricting for the agency. You may remember, but it was back in November, towards the end of November, when we had our first introduction to what is required of our agency to consider as far as redistricting. You may remember at that meeting, we kind of went through the basics of what needs to be considered. We reviewed kind of our existing boundaries and the data associated with that. And we received feedback from the board on some direction to consider for this meeting tonight. And so we are back. We do have Doug Johnson from National Demographics Corporation. He's a nationally recognized demographer. We're really happy to have him on our team. You'll remember from that meeting, that previous meeting, the data showed, and Doug's going to walk through that all again so that you guys are fresh and the public can get re-familiarized with the data as well. But that data showed that our existing boundaries were really well balanced. The board had some direction and comment in regards to growth projection. And so we've gone through an analysis that tries to lay that out the best we can. Obviously, as we talked about it that night, projecting growth is a very tricky endeavor. So Doug reminded us not to get too far out in front of ourselves, and he'll be able to walk through that data set tonight. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started. As you'll remember, and Doug will refresh us too, we're going to have the public hearing tonight, and then there are requirements to hold two public hearings. So we are for sure going to have at least one more of these, depending on the feedback that we receive tonight. So with that, Doug, why don't you go ahead.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with all of you again, even if virtually. So I will just jump in. As you just heard, most of this is a repeat of what you saw in November, just to refresh anyone who wasn't here at that meeting, and to lead into the updated data that Mr. Cole is just referencing. So we can jump into the next slide. So again, this is something that every jurisdiction that elects with the by area has to do every 10 years after the census. So we are revisiting these lines and checking to see if they're still population balanced and potentially to change them as we must do after every decennial census. Next slide. The code does require these hearings. And then once this is done, we submit the map to the county registrar for implementation if there are any changes to the map. And the registrar's review is purely administrative. They don't approve or check the map for anything other than the administrative implementation of it. And so the board's action on this is the official action. We take the next slide. So when we are redrawing the lines, we have things that state law says we may consider: topography, geography, cohesiveness, contiguity, compactness, and communities of interest. So these are all considerations that you can look at if we do need to redraw the lines. Next slide. There are, of course, requirements. So we do have federal laws that, number one, say each election area has to have an equal population. We need to be sure that the election areas comply with the Federal Voting Rights Act. And we need to be sure that we're not drawing the lines with race as what the court calls the predominant factor. That becomes racial gerrymandering. So it can be one factor, but it can't be the predominant factor. So as long as we comply with those requirements, then you can implement the traditional principles as you see fit and choose the map that you think best meets traditional principles. And these are goals, not requirements. So we've got communities of interest, compact and contiguous, follow visible boundaries so that the boundaries are easily understood. Respect the voters' choices. You can consider where the directors live, so we avoid pairing them in ways that would prevent the voters from getting to make re-election decisions. you can, within a very small margin allowed by the equal population rule, account for planned future growth. And we also try, some of this is often inevitable when lines have to move, but you can try to minimize the number of voters who shift from being a 2022 seat to a 2024 seat, or just so that people who are expecting to vote in 2022 don't get delayed. And then the courts have recognized the value of preserving the core of the existing election areas where possible, so that residents who have worked together and campaigned and networked in an effort to try to influence the board elections can continue to use those same networks and organize together with the same neighbors without those a shift in lines disrupting their relationships. So again, the ones on the right are goals or traditional principles, are not requirements, but they're all things that you can consider which map best balances it if you do need to redraw the map. We go to the next slide. To go over this in some history, so I'll just briefly touch on it. Mr. Byrne covered this last time. We're obviously at kind of the last stage of the evolution from separate Newhall and County Water District to the current agency. And so we do have have had over this transition a mix of at-large and per division directors. And going forward, we'll be down to just directors elected by division. And I believe Mr. Byrne is on this call if there are more questions about what's happened on that transition. Next slide. So this is what really sets up that whole process. This was SB 634, established the current divisions that we're looking at today, and then set in place this timeline where we're getting down to 9 in the 2023 election. And I mean, all of you are familiar with your current board makeup. So let's go on to the next slide. So here are those three divisions. They were established at the time of the first transition and merger, and that we're evaluating to see how do they come out under the 2020 census data. We'll go to the next slide. And it's interesting, you know, this is Santa Clarita is obviously a fast growth area, but the growth has been fairly balanced. So when we look at the total population on the top there, you have almost 286,000 people estimated by the Census Bureau as residing in the agency's territory. And then when we look at each of the existing divisions, they're all almost perfectly balanced. The difference between the largest and smallest, your largest you can see is area three or division three at 0.43 over the ideal. And the smallest is division two at 0.82% under the ideal. The difference between those two is only 1.25%. The law allows up to a 10% range between those two. So you're almost perfectly balanced. We also did look at, from a voting rights perspective, at whether there are any potentially majority Latino or other protected class divisions. And you can see, as noted here, Division 1 has a notably higher Latino voting strength, 31% of the eligible voters based on citizen voting age population numbers are Latino in Division 1. But none of the divisions are close to a majority seat where we might have to adjust them to achieve that majority or otherwise comply with the Federal Voting Rights Act. We go on to the next slide. One of the things that we also want to be careful of is both not denying a majority division if one is possible, but also looking at where there are concentrations of particularly Latino populations, so that's your largest protected class. And you can see there are two pockets, one on both sides of Soledad Road and the other along Railroad Avenue. And they are both in Division One, so those two communities are put together and neither one of them is divided. So as you can see on the left-hand side of this chart, as it goes from the cold purple and blue that are low Latino citizen voting age percentages up to the warm and hot green, yellow, and red that are majority Latino. You can see that they are concentrated in one, and then a couple of neighborhoods as well in three. And then, of course, scattered individual census blocks that don't have the numbers to really influence elections in other random places. So we're pretty good on the Voting Rights Act front. We have those individual neighborhoods kept together, and to the degree possible in Division I, we put the two communities together to give that a stronger voting strength. The next slide. So this image you saw before, but we have some more refined data. So the board did have the questions about expected growth. And so Mr. Cole and his team have done quite a bit of work looking at where there are expected growth or expected new housing developments. And you can see there are expected new housing developments in all the divisions coming online. And if you go to the next slide, we get to the numbers. And this is the new slide. So the number of housing units expected we had last time. But your staff have done a lot of work to try to figure out when are those housing units expected to actually be built? When are they likely to have people in them? So instead of just having one number that I had last time for you, we now have a breakout of, at the top, you see the 2020 population. That's the number I walked through before, where they're almost perfectly balanced. Then we have new housing construction since the census for both 2022, 2025, and 2030. And the thing that really jumps out when we use an estimated people per household and other kind of guesstimates that we use in such analyses is that even as far out as 2025, you know, halfway through the decade, the election divisions will still be almost perfectly balanced, getting up to only 2.62% deviation between the largest and smallest. And you can see the numbers to the left. We're estimating, you know, we'll still be at 102,000 in your fastest growing division of three, and less than 2,000, less than 3,000 behind that in division one at 99,450. It's only when we get to the very end of the decade, no surprise, when we finally trip over that 10% number and get to 11.82% difference between the largest and smallest, still remarkably close, especially in an area that's growing so fast, relative to the rest of the state, at least. And so by 2030, Division 3 does get up to 115,000 people. But that is still just barely outside of what would be a legally allowed range right now. So yes, they will get a little out of balance at the last half of the decade, but there's certainly no legal requirement to change the lines today. And you're remarkably close to balance today. And you're expected to still be remarkably close to balance as far out as 2025. So I hope this addresses the questions you had about kind of the pace of build out and how much build out there will be over the coming decade. I'm happy to come back and discuss this in more detail if you do have questions though. With that, I'll go on to the next slide. So as was mentioned, today you have a hearing, no expected action. You can give kind of a direction or sense of the board about if you want to see any draft maps. As I just talked about, there's no requirement to look at draft maps since your current maps are balanced. And then in February, we come back for an additional hearing and possible action. And then if you need to have a meeting in March, we would do that as well. April 17th is the deadline to have this all into the county registrar. So we obviously are trying to be well in advance of that. Next slide, please. I think that might be the last one. Oh, yes. Yeah, so the two options you have to discuss before you are, option one, you want to just keep the existing divisions. Since they are population balanced, they are community oriented and meet all those other criteria. If that is your general guidance, and we bring back a resolution to that effect for your next meeting. Or if you do want to see revised maps, if you give us that guidance today, we would bring those maps back for your next meeting for your consideration, possible adoption, or we could also do an additional meeting in March if you want further refinements to those maps. So next slide. There we go. So happy to go back to the number slide if you do have questions about those population estimates or to answer any other questions you may have about any of this.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. April, I believe we need to take public comment before we open it up to board questions and discussion. So if we have members of the public who wish to comment, please invite them to do it at this time.
It does not appear we have any public comment.
Was that we do not have public comment, April?
We do not.
Very good. All right, so before we open up to questions and discussion from the board, as we've said earlier, we're not taking any action tonight. But when we reach the end of board questions and discussion, I would like, if possible, to reach a consensus on which option the board would like to bring back to the next public hearing. So with that, I'll open it up to questions and discussion. Director Armitage, go ahead.
Thank you. first, I want to express my gratitude to all the staff members who took time to parse out and provide the data on the expected growth projections, since that was at my request at the last meeting. So thank you for doing that. I think that gives a more comprehensive picture for this decision-making process. So thank you again. I mean, I agree. It seems in the short term, the expected growth is minimal in the next 5 years. But I do think that the expected growth, if the assumptions play out, do become significant toward the end of that period. So I'd actually like to offer a third option to put onto the table and for discussion, that we accept the boundaries as they are for now. But in the midpoint in 2027, so 5 years from now, whoever's on the board at that point, take a look and see if the assumptions are playing out correctly, see what the data looks like. And then if a decision is made to rebalance at that point, that the board do that then. So that's my 2 cents at this point. Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions or from the board? I don't see any hands raised. Director Colley, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, could we just get an opinion if that is possible to change the division boundaries in between the every 10-year census? Just wonder if that's even possible to discuss.
Yeah, I'm happy to chime in on that. so under the elections code, I think we discussed this before, there is the opportunity to make changes. And I was just pointed up as we're talking, but it has to do with, I'll read it here. It's by 2/3 vote of the governing body, and you have to determine that a sufficient change in population has occurred that it makes it desirable in the opinion of the governing body to adjust the boundaries of any divisions. And it says, or whenever any territory is added, so if there's an annexation. So I don't think it's appropriate to have a hard date by which there would be a reconsideration. But certainly that is an option of the board, as Director Armitage said, and whoever might be there at the time to exercise at any point in time when they feel that that population and that determination might be appropriate.
Very good. That answer your question, Director Colley?
Yes, thank you.
Very good. Director Cooper, go ahead.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate the work that you do on this and staff in looking at what the future is going to be bringing. It's pretty hard to guess what developers are going to do. Things can change dramatically in the next year or two and shift to moving more stuff to the east side than the west side. We've seen that happen a number of times. I'm comfortable with the way they are right now. I I would like to see us if we want to come back in another 5 years and take a quick look. And staff can do that by just adding what's been built in between onto what we have now. I don't mind taking another look later on, but I'm at this point, I'm very comfortable with what we have, and I appreciate the work that's gone into it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Director Gladbach.
Yes, thank you, President Martin. I also appreciate the efforts that staff and the consultants have gone through in looking at the future build-out. It gives me reassurance that we're good as we are for the next few years. And beyond that, you know, who knows? But we can always take a look at it and whenever and modify it if that's necessary. So thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Gladbach. Vice President Mortensen, go ahead, sir.
I would be interested in an opinion from council of whether we can even bind future boards to do such things.
No, that's kind of what I was saying earlier. I don't think that we're able to make a motion to require us to do anything at a later time. However, you could, I suppose, indicate that, you know, a certain time out, like Director Cooper said as well, staff could take a look and present some information back to the board. But it's certainly the decision before us is whether to adjust the boundaries now or not. In a future determination would need to be made if there was going to be an adjustment based on additional information.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. And I appreciate staff to work on this.
Very good. Director Brownstein.
Good evening. If I recall correctly, last discussion, we discussed about if there weren't really community boundaries, that it seemed like a lot of communities were halved. I don't remember who brought it up. I think it was Director Colley that brought it out. So I didn't know if we looked into that or not. And then, I mean, everything looks balanced out beautifully. I have no idea how you guys did it. Kudos. That looks amazing. At the same time, if it's about communities, it's hard. I mean, when I look at the map personally and I see Division 1 and then 3, they kind of, it seems like, I guess on the south side, that community would probably be more of a community than two different divisions versus having the, for the lack of a better term, Division 1 has a bird head up into Division 3. And so I don't know if this is notes for future, because right now everything looks beautiful and balanced. It just looks weird. So I'm sure there's reasoning for it, but it just looks like demographically, geographically, it looks like they should be together and not the way it's drawn now.
Very good. Director Collin, are you complete, Director Brownstein? Very good. Director Collin.
Yeah, I believe that Director Brownstein is correct that I have long objected, if you will, to the current boundaries, where essentially the folks that would consider themselves to be a community of Canyon Country are split in half. Half of them are in Division 2. And the same is true for Saugus. The folks that would consider themselves to live in the community of Saugus are split in two. So both of those communities are split in half. And it would be my preference to see if we couldn't find some maps where the communities that we normally discuss in this valley, in Canyon Country, Saugus, Valencia, Newhall, and Castaic, were not, where possible, split down the middle. But I understand that I'm kind of a minority opinion on that. So that understanding that, I'm certainly not objecting to the balance. And I think that balance is relatively easily achieved, because one can move around the edges of any of these, as has been done, to move a few voters here and there across a boundary to balance the divisions. Okay. Thank you.
Director Cooper.
Thank you, President Martin. You know, yes, I understand what you're talking about, Director Bronstein. When we did the original maps, when we combined the water agency, Santa Clarita and Newhall County and Castaic Lake Water Agency in Valencia, we kind of looked at that. And really, the community of interest is post offices. And that's where the each of those areas got their name is through a post office. It's not really a community of interest outside of that's where their mail goes. And so you really could set the boundaries wherever you needed to. And I think that, well, I think when we did them quite fairly. And I think they came out well. I think these numbers show that they came out well. So, yeah, and post offices don't mean anything. Post offices move. The one in Newhall moved over to Stevenson Ranch for a while, and then it moved back. And so it's just a matter of post offices. But I appreciate your comment. Thank you.
Director Ozahosky.
Right, Mr. Johnson and staff, thank you for this analysis. I mean, being less than 1.25% off is absolutely phenomenal. Definitely prefer option one in this case, just to save on costs and the fact that everything is balanced. Definitely want to echo Director Cooper's statement that, you know, these communities were based on the post offices and where they're located. So definitely my preference is option one. That's it for me. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Ozahosky. Are there any other directors who would like to speak at this time? Vice President Mortensen.
Thank you, President Martin. Yeah, I would like to express my approval for option one as well. It has the additional benefit of allowing us to continue to represent the people who we have traditionally represented and who have entrusted us with this leadership. And I think that's an important issue.
Thank you, Vice President Mortensen. Are there any other directors who would like to speak at this time? I see Director Kelly. Go ahead, Director Kelly.
Yeah, I seem to agree with the majority that we're going to be looking at item one or proposal one. It sounds like the most convenient and most cost-effective for us at this time.
Thank you, Director Kelly. Are there any other directors who'd like to comment before I weigh in on this a little bit? I don't see any, and I do want to thank you, Mr. Johnson, and Steve, and the staff for going to the doing the work to address the concerns that were raised at our last meeting and be responsive to our board in what they wanted. And I think the information you presented confirms that we're in pretty good shape until 2025. And I would really oppose changing boundaries at this time. This will be our second election as SCV Water, and to be changing boundaries at this point when our community is just getting used to the boundaries that we set when we originally were created. And plus, I think I don't see the point of taking the time, spending agency funds and making an effort to change boundaries when we are, as was stated by Mr. Johnson, we are almost perfectly balanced. And so I would be supportive of option one. All I can say about the 2025 or 2027 review of it is to ask April to put it on a calendar for 2027. And she'll bring it up at the 2027 agenda planning meeting. And she probably will go ahead and send out a meeting notice to that effect. But 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 I feel like the consensus going forward is for option one at this time. I guess I would ask, are there any directors that do not agree with moving option one to the next public hearing for the as the preferred option? Director Colley, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, just I agree that you have found the consensus, but your question was if any director disagrees, and clearly I disagree, but I consensus the same consensus that you have. So
very good, very good. Because I would my sense is that if the consensus is for option one, we won't be asking our Mr. Johnson or staff to prepare any additional maps at this time. But I think they provided the basis for us to move forward with option one. And I don't think we would be asking for any additional work before the next public hearing. So with that, Mr. Byrne and Mr. Johnson and April, I see Director Armitage, you put your hand up. Go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm in agreement. I just wanted to ask if it was possible to include language in the resolution about the reassessment in 2027 or the whatever you want to call it, looking at the data again. Is it possible to put that into the resolution?
I'll just jump in. I don't think we can bind the board to do a reassessment, but certainly as we discussed, I think there can be something that indicates that, you know, staff would look at it at a later time I think it's accomplished by giving direction. I mean, do you feel that it really needs to be in the resolution itself, or because it's
I would like to see it in the resolution.
Yeah, I could probably work something out and word it that way. It's certainly up to the board as to whether they want to do that. It's certainly a ways out. And again, it's an independent decision of the board at that time.
All right.
Thank you.
Director Atkins.
I don't want to presume upon a future board. I think I'm comfortable with the way we are. We can direct staff and go with option one. Thank you.
Very good. So I suppose what I'd like to do is to get another consensus on whether the board would like to see language added to the resolution referring to a reassessment 5 years out, 2027, whatever it is. And with that, Vice President Mortensen, you have your hand up.
Yeah, so I think we should let future boards make that determination, and I don't think we should presume to. That's my take.
Okay, all right. Do I have my Director Cooper?
Slow on the mute tonight. Could we put in the resolution, and maybe Mr. Byrne can address this, is that we recommend that it be done reevaluated in 2027?
Yeah, we can certainly put in, we recommend that staff, do an evaluation and present it to the board in 2027.
Just a recommendation.
That's a non-binding recommendation, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I would support that.
Director Blambeck. Okay, so is that what
you had to say? I just wanted to quickly say I support that, that's all.
Okay. Well, did you have any, you had your hand up, Director Planback. Did you want to add anything else?
No, I just think it's a good recommendation just because it's like a little reminder. Do you want to take a look at it, not telling them that they have to?
Okay, very good. Director, Vice President Gladbeck.
I don't like to see as finding or even recommending the future boards what they ought to do. I mean, let them decide themselves. I mean, if I don't think that's a place in the resolution. I think if we want to make a recommendation, we can pass a motion independent of this. I don't want to see it in the resolution.
All right.
I don't care.
Well, we have one I don't care, and we have several that would like to see it as a non-binding recommendation, but I think it's rather harmless, especially if Mr. Byrne agrees that it's Director Ozahowski. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Byrne, so if this is going to be reevaluated in 27, due to Elections Code 2200, will that also, will the agency also have to do it in 2030?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to do and Doug's nodding his head. Same thing process we're doing now in 2030. And again, it's pretty strict criteria for a change. It's that the board determines by 2/3 vote that there's a significant change in population. I'd be hard to believe that that would be a finding the board can make if you're under the 10%. At least that's my assumption. So it really is, I think it's fine to have some non-binding. I can figure out a way to write it. It'd be separate from the adoption of the lines that just indicates that the board recommends that at some point or in 2027 that there would be some kind of a presentation made to the board on updating on population numbers. It would not be a recommendation to redo the boundaries. It would just be to update the board on the new population, on the existing population numbers at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Byrne. And Mr. Johnson, census numbers from 2025, 2027, where would we get those numbers from?
So we'd have a combination of data. Number one, you'd have the housing stats, certificate of occupancies, those kinds of reports that you get. And we would match that up with the American Community Survey comes through every year with updated population estimates by the census block group. So it's not as and it's nowhere near as precise as the essentially city block by city block decennial census data. But for groups of maybe 5 to 10 city blocks, they will do an estimated number. It lags. And so that, if we're looking at it in 2027, we'd be seeing roughly 2024, 2025 census numbers, but it would give us something to double check the occupancy numbers against and give us kind of a people per household number. So it'd be much more ballpark estimates than the more specific data we get from the decennial census. But it is data that has been used for mid-decade updates before.
Yeah, understood. Thank you. Well, in that case, I think I'm sure the majority opinion here just going with option one, and if there is an issue, the future board members can raise it up during that year. That's my opinion. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Director Colley, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that this is relatively easily solved by just simply adding a whereas within the resolution, basically restating what is allowed, what a future board could do. And I certainly don't think that we should put something that we resolve that some future board would do. So I think that just putting it as an additional whereas, which our lawyer can do very easily, would make the most sense, and I think satisfy the directors that want to see something in there to remind future boards that this could be changed.
That'd be fine with me.
Before I ask for Vice President Mortensen's question or comment, Mr. Byrne, do you have a response to what Director Colley just said?
No, I think that's a great suggestion. So the whereas could just essentially state that the board has the ability to do that and pretty much cite the code, which would be a nod to, along the lines of what we're talking about. So I think that would work.
Very good. Vice President Mortensen.
Thank you, President Martin. just a quick question. I appreciate having Doug with us tonight. Can you give us some idea of the cost of implementing a staff determination and report to the board in 2027, Mr. Johnson?
Well,
I realize it's a ways out.
Yeah, I think most of the work will fall on Mr. Cole and your team. So it's not so much a cost as it is a time. It's not so much a dollar cost as a time cost for them to do that analysis and gather that data. On our side, combining that those numbers with population per unit and getting that American Community Survey data is a fairly minor process. So you're probably looking at $5,000 or something for that. If you proceed to then redraw to use that data and decide to redraw the lines, then you're talking, couple tens of thousands for that. But just doing the analysis is probably going to be in the range of $5,000 that time.
Plus staff time.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. I would ask Director Armitage, would that satisfy your interest if we were to make a whereas comment in the resolution pointing out what the future boards can do down the road?
Yes, that would be fine. Thank you.
Very good. All right. I think we've reached the consensus on both issues. Option one plus the language, if Mr. Byrne can go ahead and craft some language that would address that and follow the law. Mr. Cole, you have your hand up, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I took the opportunity to put the thanks where it belongs. Chief Engineer Courtney Mayo and his team are the ones that really spent the time and effort working through kind of the mapping and the data collection for the development. So I just wanted to make sure I took the opportunity to express that. Thanks.
Good. I'm glad you did, Steve. And thank you, Courtney, wherever you may be. I know you were on earlier, but please pass our appreciation on to the team that put all the work to address our questions and concerns. All right. At this point, unless there's further discussion amongst the board, I think we have a consensus to move forward to the next public hearing. And barring any further discussion, I will hereby close this public hearing at this point. And that leaves us with one item, adjournment. And I think I would again express our board's appreciation to Mr. Johnson, Mr. Cole, Mr. Mayo, and all of our staff that put this together. It's great that we came out with an almost perfect balance. And I'm happy for our constituents that we're not moving the boundary in just the second board election for the SCV Water. And with that, I would declare that we are hereby adjourned. Thank you all.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Lucy.